Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Fantastic. Thank you, Denver. Love you, dear. Love you. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Fantastic. Well, y'all ready to get in the Word? Yeah. You bring your Bibles? Fantastic. Sorta. If you got your phone, you got your Bible, right? Yeah. Max, good to see you here. Max, why don't you stand up? Max has just finished his college football playing career at the University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. And he is going into the NFL. And so projected to be a first-round draft pick. At least that's what we're believing for. And so, Max, I'm glad you're here today. So before you leave, let us pray for you. So we're here because, you're going to need God in a big, special way. Fantastic. Yeah, today I'm starting a series really based on a message that I gave back in January the 16th, really talking about God being the God of the comeback. You know, when God speaks something to you and it reverberates inside of you, you know he said it to you, you know you feel it when you talk about it. This is one of the things that's like that for me. I feel this when I talk about it. I sense it. I feel it. That this is the year of comeback. And I applied that, of course, of really coming back to church. And look how many of you are here this morning. I mean, every Sunday, it's just getting to be a more and more and more. And these empty seats that are around you, they belong to people that you know, that you care about, that you love, that you're going to be inviting here in the next season to come to church. And their lives are going to get changed here, and great things are going to be happening for them and to them. But we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we pinned it on the cornerstone of our building right out there on the corner. He's the same. The same Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he lives today. He's alive through his Holy Spirit in us and with us. And the same things that he did 2,000 years ago, he can still do today. And so we believe that not only that, but the Bible says that Jesus promised us that even greater things that he did, we would do, because he goes and is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And so when Jesus is in the picture, it's never over till it's over. No matter if you break your foot once, twice, three times, four, it's never over till it's over. When others might want to quit, Justin said, you know what, I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to stay in here. And one of the things we didn't talk about was that his teammates in the Los Angeles Rams voted him an award called the Ed Block Courage Award. It's the comeback player of the year for the Rams. And so it's never over till it's over. And every one of us needs a comeback in our life. Every one of us needs a comeback in our life. It's never too far gone. It's never too late. The mountain is never too high. The storm is never too strong. Death never gets the final word. And it's never too late for a comeback. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Man, everybody loves a good comeback story. Last night, Nancy and I watched Facing the Giants. I mean, a little team, a coach that made a comeback. It's a great little story. The Blind Side, they're full of comebacks. The Gladiator, I mean, he was shipped off to slavery. And makes a big comeback. Rocky, yeah. Forrest Gump, Star Wars, Remember the Titans, Top Gun, and George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. Everybody needs a comeback. Everybody needs a comeback. History is full of comeback stories. General Douglas MacArthur, the last Supreme Commander over the United States Army, failed in his first attempt to get into West Point, failed in his second attempt to get into West Point, and finally on his third attempt, they let him in. He became one of the greatest generals of all history. Albert Einstein was expelled from elementary school for being too dumb to learn. Yeah, there was somebody dumb there, but it wasn't him. Yeah. Thomas Edison was kicked out of school as a first grader because he was too slow to learn. It says that his mother then became his homeschool teacher, and by the time he was 10, he'd set up a laboratory in his bedroom. Thomas Edison. Franklin Roosevelt got polio at 39 years of age. He could have cashed in his chips, but stayed on and became the only four-term president in the history of the United States. Sir Edmund Hillary in 1952 and his team failed to summit the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. And speaking to Mountaineering Club in London, England, he looked at the map with Everest on it. He said, "Everest, you cannot grow, but I can. And next year I will climb you and I will conquer you." And Sir Edmund Hillary in the very next year climbed to the top of the world and summited Mount Everest. Wilma Rudolph was number 20 of 22 children in her family. Thought the Rollins had something. 22. 22. I mean, you could have your own church, your own football team, your own basketball team, and have subs for all that. When she was 3 years old, she got scarlet fever and double pneumonia. Scarlet fever left her totally paralyzed in her left leg to where she had to wear braces to walk. When she was 9 years old, she took the braces off, and she began to learn how to walk in a rhythm. And the doctor said, "This is a miracle that she can do that." When she was 12 years old, she decided she wanted to be a runner. Everybody discouraged her and told her she couldn't do it. After that, she decided she wanted to be a competitive runner. People said, "It won't work." She entered races for 5 years and came in dead last for 5 years. For 5 years. But she persevered. She continued to work at it. And what's so awesome about Wilma Rudolph is that she is a three-time gold medal winner in the Olympics. An amazing person who overcame odds for a big comeback. It's something about these stories that stir our emotions. That's why we go to the movies and spend the movies money there to watch. It stirs our emotion. It gives us hope. It gives us hope. It's hope because we can identify with the people that are underdogs, because most of us live as underdogs. It gives us hope because we can relate to the obstacles and the tragedies and the challenges that they have to overcome, because we have to overcome ours too. It allows us to live vicariously through them, knowing that if God can do it for them, He can do it for me too. It gives us hope. It strengthens us. It encourages us. And today and throughout this series, I want to talk about two different kinds of comebacks. The first kind of comeback is when God does a comeback for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "He can do something for you." Yeah, He does something for us. It's like an underdog who falls or fails and then comes back to win and succeed beyond his imagination. That movie, you know, little movie, The Underdog, is an amazing movie because it tells the story, you know, of, what's his name? Kurt Warner. Who said that? Yeah, I'm glad you know. That's right, Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner was sacking groceries one afternoon, and the next afternoon he's playing in the NFL. And went on to become the most valuable player in the NFL and the most valuable player in the Super Bowl. And so he made an amazing comeback. We love stories like that where God does something for us to cause us to come back, to win, to succeed beyond our imagination. But the second kind of comeback is where God does a comeback in us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God can do something in you." Yeah, the defeat that we experience, the challenges that we go through, the obstacles that we have to overcome push us to seek Him. And in the process, He changes us on the inside. We may never see, like Justin saw, finally his foot get healed. We may never see. We may be in a situation where it never gets healed. But because God has a work inside of us, it changes our perspective. It allows us to see things from a whole different angle. Our whole point of view changes. Our desires change. Our goals change. Our expectations change. Our attitudes change. But in either case, whether God does something for you in breakthrough or does a breakthrough in you, it is about a person who is in pain. And they either have that pain alleviated by God working for them, or they have that pain mitigated by God working in them. By God working in them. They see from a whole nother perspective. It's someone who has overcome a great obstacle or had an amazing about face. That is what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And the Bible is a book full of comeback stories. Your Bible is full of characters that had to make a comeback. Full of people that had to make a comeback. Starting with Adam and Eve and going all the way through Jesus. It is comeback story after comeback story after comeback story. And so I want to begin this series today really about comeback because I think it's important for us. Because I think everyone in us, everyone here with us today has to have a comeback at some point in their life. Some of us have to have multiple comebacks in our life. And God is the God of comeback. We're going to take a look at Moses today, and we'll be in the book of Exodus. So if you brought your Bible or your phone or your tablet, you can turn to Exodus chapter 2. Moses. How many people in here have never heard of Moses? Right. Every one of us know about Moses. And so the story I'm going to lay out is one that most of you be very familiar with. Moses was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was a Hebrew. Right? And the Hebrews were enslaved to the Egyptians. And the Egyptian Pharaoh became very worried about how many Hebrews there were in his country and the fear of them rising up and overtaking the government. So he issued a decree to all the women who were doulas. He said, oh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when these Hebrew women are having children, I want you to save the females, but I want you to throw the males in the river. Of course, they didn't do that. And all along, a Hebrew mom had a little boy named Moses. And so she built a basket with a cover on it, and she put Moses in it and rested in the reeds of the Nile River, very near Pharaoh's palace. And here we see in Exodus 2, 5, and 6, that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark, the basket, among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion upon him. And she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, the amazing thing about this story is that she told her maid, after having compassion on this little boy child, to turn it over to a wet nurse, someone to raise it for him. And the woman that they turned Moses over to was his natural mom. And so Moses was raised in the palace of Pharaoh and raised in the household of Pharaoh, just as if he had been an Egyptian. Well, he grows up and Moses has an anger problem. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. You know, anybody has an anger problem. I had an anger problem once. I tell people I had two emotions, awake and angry. And asleep and angry would be better. But Moses had that kind of anger problem. Here he says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, he saw an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way, and he looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And so not only did he have an anger problem, but he also was a murderer. And so Moses, the great Moses of the Bible, the Moses who brought us the Ten Commandments, didn't start off life very well. He didn't start off life very well. And as soon as Pharaoh found out about it, Pharaoh went after him to kill him. It says here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Let me tell you where Midian is. Midian's not even a town. It's not a village. It's not a crossroads. Midian was a region, a desert. And so here, this spoiled, angry, impetuous young Moses has to run from Pharaoh. If he doesn't run from Pharaoh, Pharaoh's going to kill him. And so he heads out to the backside of nowhere, to the desert. And there on the backside of nowhere, he meets a Jethro, his future father-in-law. And there he becomes a shepherd. He was a fugitive from the law. And so verse 3:1 says that after 40 years, Moses had an encounter with God. Think about him being out there for 40 years. You got to believe that he's totally given up any hope of ever going back to Egypt. You got to believe that now he's settled in. He has a wife. He has children. He's working for his father-in-law, Jethro. And so there he is going through the motions of life, empty and broken because just life seems to be going nowhere. And so here we are in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. I mean, he's not only going, he's already in the nowhere, and he's going to the backside of nowhere now. And he came to a place called Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. All of you know this story. Moses is minding his own business. He's got his staff in his hand. He's tending his sheep. And he looks over there and he sees a bush that's on fire. But he marvels because it's not being consumed. It's not spreading anywhere else. It's just there on fire. And as he walks closer and closer to it, examining and watching after it, he hears the angel of the Lord speak to him and say, "Take off your shoes, Moses, for the ground that you're standing on is holy." And then he begins to converse with him and give him instructions that he's been called by God, chosen by the Lord, to go and tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrew children go. Now, you can imagine that having that kind of call in his life and him being a fugitive from justice. I mean, he knows the minute that he shows up back there, the minute that he shows his passport, he's going to the dungeon. He's headed to the executioner. And so, as you can imagine, he wasn't all fired up about doing this. Even though the burning bush was speaking to him, he was still insecure and self-conscious. He still thought it was all about him. Well, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech," he says, "and slow of tongue." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Let me just interpret for that is, I have a speech impediment. I don't talk very good. I'm real nervous about being there. I'll really be stuttering really bad. Why don't you just send somebody else, God? Now, spoiler alert, that's not the thing to say to God. When God says that he's called you and lays it out pretty specifically like he did for Moses, the best thing you can do is like Mary, "Lord, let it be unto me according to your word," right? And so he's saying, "Man, my tongue is slow, my speech is slow." And he says, "If there's somebody else, send them. Send them." It was an obstacle to him. His impetuousness, his anger is catching up to him now in the form of insecurity. And he's losing it. I mean, he's nervous about it, obviously. The speech impediment, going back to, I mean, it was overwhelming to him, if you can imagine. And so in Exodus 5, we find out that he's going to Pharaoh, not just by himself, but with his brother Aaron. The Bible says in verse 1 of Exodus 5 that afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Everybody's seen the movie, right? We said, let him go. But God had already warned him that Pharaoh is not going to roll over easy. In fact, every time that you talk to him, his heart is going to get harder and harder and harder. And so, as you know, there were 10 plagues that were issued, and the last one was the plague of death over the firstborn. of every household. That's where we get the Passover from, right? And so they killed an innocent lamb. They took the blood of the lamb and wiped it on the doorpost so that when the death angel hovered over that household, he would see the blood and spare the firstborn of the house. And in this case, every Egyptian firstborn was killed that night by the angel of death. And so, finally, Pharaoh then complies. In Exodus 12, verse 31, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, "Look, you rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." As they were leaving, the Egyptians were giving them, as prescribed by the Lord, all their silver jewelry, all their gold jewelry, all their gold implements. And so the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, went out very, very wealthy. Very wealthy. And you would think, wow, this is a major comeback from Moses. Moses had a big challenge. What was the challenge? That he was a murderer, that he was a fugitive from the law, that he had spent 40 years as a shepherd, not preparing for leading a people at all. And he'd overcome all that, and now he makes his big comeback by leading the children of Israel in their biggest comeback ever, moving from Egypt, coming back to the promised land. Well, you would think it was over, but it doesn't end there. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 4, the Lord says to Moses, "This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." We're at the end now of the 40-year stay in the wilderness by the children of Israel, by Moses. And God says, man, this is the land. You see it with your own eyes. You can see it. This is the land I promised to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the land of promise. This is what I had for you, all the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then he says to him, he says, "I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. The Bible says that he was buried on the mountain, and to this day, nobody knows exactly where he was buried. But he could see into the promised land. And even after leading the children, even after overcoming all the obstacles that he had to overcome, he eventually failed. He failed because he never dealt with the character issue inside of him, the impetuousness, the anger. You see, the children of Israel complained about water. And God said to Moses, "Take them to the rock and speak to that rock, and water will begin to flow." But Moses, because of his anger towards the children of Israel, took the children to the rock. But rather than speak to it, he struck it in anger. And in that moment, he lost the ability for him to go from the wilderness into the promised land. His story looked like it was at an end. It looked like it was at an end. But his comeback didn't end there with a grave that nobody knows where it is today. In fact, in the New Testament, you see a story of Jesus climbing up a mountain with his three top disciples, Peter, James, and John. And when they get to the mountain, verse 2 of Matthew 17 says, "He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light." You can think about Jesus. He's now appearing to Peter, James, and John in all of his glory. And immediately, two other people appeared, Moses and Elijah. And watch what it says here. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking to him. You see, when God is the God of the comeback, he's not limited to you coming back just in this life only. He can bring you back in a whole nother level at a whole nother life. And Moses' ultimate comeback was not leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. His ultimate comeback was being seen in glory with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're standing for. Moses made his all-time most powerful comeback just beside Jesus in glory. And sometimes, like Moses, we need a comeback even when we've already had a few, right? So God is the God of comeback, not once in your life, but every time you need him, because that's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he's all about, is helping you make a comeback, helping you make a comeback. Your story, take your hand right here and put it right here on your heart. Your story is not over as long as Jesus is still in it. It may feel like it's over. You may think it's over. You may have even said it was over. But as long as Jesus is in your life, it's not over. It's not over. It's never too late for a comeback. And I want you for just for a minute to think about your life here today. Think about your time here today. Think about this moment. This moment. Jesus is here. His presence here. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here. He's here. And here's the question that I have for you. What obstacle or what challenge are you facing today? Where is it that you need to come back in your life? Maybe you're in a conflict with your friends or your loved ones. People that you used to trust and care about, but you've grown cold in that love for them. Maybe you need to come back in that relationship. Perhaps you're still filled with anxiety and fear about the future. Man, it just bothers you. You see wars and rumors of wars on TV. You hear politicians say this and that. And you worry about China. And you worry about the schools. And just filled with anxiety. You need a comeback. A comeback to the peace of God. To the life of God. Maybe you need to overcome an addiction. Or you have some besetting sin that's blocking you from your relationship you want with the Lord. Maybe you're overwhelmed at work. Maybe you just hate your job. Or like some people, you know, I don't hate my job, I just hate the people I work with. You need to come back. You need to come back. Perhaps your marriage is on the rocks this morning. Not communicating. Haven't been communicating for a long time. Not happy. Not fulfilled. You need to come back. Come back to the way it was when you first got married. When you first met each other. When you first knew each other. Maybe you're here this morning, you have plenty of money. You got all the resources you want, need. But somehow your life feels empty. Feels defeated. Purposeless. You need to come back to the purposes of God. Listen, if you're taking a breath, God has a very unique, very special purpose for your life. And you need to come back. You need to come back to that. I think about my own life this morning, and I think, you know, there's some times in my life where I was more passionate about some of the things of God. And just through time, you know, some of that passion erodes away. I feel like I need to come back. I was telling Phil Moss this morning, he was in the first service. I just said, Phil, I feel like this group of messages I'm going to be preaching for the next month, I feel like it's for me. I don't think I'm too old for a comeback. Yeah, and I'm just believing God for a comeback. Robert, I don't think you're too old for a comeback. I don't think you're too old. You might look too old, you might feel too old, but you're not too old, baby. You're not too old. Maybe you've had a great loss, deep grieving. Maybe you're in the middle of a tragedy and just absolutely no words to describe the pain you feel. You're hurt, you're struggling, you need to come back. Maybe you've disappointed someone or something. It's deep, it's lasting, it hurts. But I'm just telling you, Jesus, he's the God of the comeback. He's the God of the comeback. And no matter what obstacle or challenge you're dealing with, he can come back. And I think that's the reason that God brought Justin this morning. It's to let you know two things. Number one, that whatever It is. When you have a foundation of the Word of God, the joy of the Lord, no matter what challenge you face, even though you might face it multiple times, you can get through it. And not only can you survive through it, but you can thrive through it. You can thrive through it. I mean, he could have said after 2 years, I'm done. I want to go back home. I like being in a small town. I like being with my wife, my kids. But no. He worked and worked, got his foot healed, and then it broke again. Worked and worked, got his foot healed, and then it broke again. And now it's broken again. But let me tell you something. When he puts on that Super Bowl ring, he'll be glad for the reward that he has for just coming back. Just keep coming back. There's a blessing on you when you just keep, you won't go and throw in the towel. You won't give up. You won't give in. You just keep moving. Just keep moving. There's a blessing in that. If you're dealing with a challenge or an obstacle today that seems too big, it's too big by design. It's too big so that you'll reach out to Jesus and let him help you. That's what happens when you get in something that's too big for you. That's why we have a Savior. That's why we're Christians. So Jesus will jump in the boat with us and help us. Be courageous. No matter what you're going through, this season will pass. There'll be another season. Think of the worst time in your life, right? If you're going through it right now, you need to come back. But if you've gone through it before, you realize, you know what? You can get through it. With Jesus, all things are possible. Lean on him because he's the God of the comeback. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you can make a comeback. You can make a comeback. Let's all stand together. Come on, you can make a comeback. Moses was a interesting guy. Born with a silver spoon in his mouth. An angry young man. Killed one of his Egyptian guys. Was a fugitive from the law. But when you read about him in Hebrews chapter 11, you'd never hear that from God. Why? Because God put your sin as far away as the east is from the west. So that when you overcome those things, the reward is being in the presence of God and continuing in the purpose that God created you for. Amen. If you're hurting today, I want to open this altar. If you need somebody to pray with you and pray for you, I want to open this altar. If you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, I want to open this altar. What that means is, I'm give you the opportunity in a few minutes when we pray, just to come down. Let me pray for you. One of our staff, one of our pastors, one of our leaders, pray for you and stand with you. Because this could be the big day that the breakthrough starts for you. The big day the breakthrough starts for you. You know, the man with the withered hand, the withered arm, had his arm in like this. And Jesus said, stretch forth your arm. And the Bible says that as he did it, God healed it. There's a part for God to play in healing it. There's a part for you to play in stretching out your arm. If you're here today, you need a breakthrough, and you want today to be the first day of that breakthrough, then I want you in just a moment to come down. We're going to pray for everybody. If you would, just raise both hands in the air, close your eyes, and say this with me. Lord Jesus, today I thank you that you're the God of the breakthrough. And no matter what obstacle or challenge I face in life, I can trust you for a breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you are trusting God for a breakthrough today, you're hurting, you need somebody to stand with you, then you want today to be the first day of that breakthrough. I want you to step out of your seat and come here and let me pray for you. Anybody, quickly, just step out of your seat, come down, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Fantastic. Just let those who need a breakthrough, just let them come through. Let's let him come. Don't let this moment pass you. Don't let this moment pass you. Come on, this is the moment, really, that God has for you. He's got something here. Just come right here to the center if you don't mind, please. Thank you. Fantastic. Yeah, he's got something for you that's beyond and above what you've been living at. I'm telling you, today be the first day, be the beginning of a real breakthrough in your life. That's what I'm trusting God for. That's what I'm believing God for, that when I lay hands on you, boom, something's going to start. God's either going to work for you in your behalf or in you or perhaps both. But either way, we got to let go of this obstacle, this mountain, this trouble that we've been. Let go of all that and just reach out to God. You see, Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. Then it has a little qualifier on it. If you seek him with all your heart. That's the qualifier. All your heart. All your heart. Amen. Would you extend your hands towards these? Let me pray for them. Lord, thank you for each person, Lord, is here. Father, from the tip of their toes to the top of their head, just fill them now with a new sense of hope, a new sense, Lord, of empowerment now. Lord, that whatever obstacle that they're facing, whatever issue, Lord, that they have going on in their life, Lord, you'd heal them. You'd deliver them. You give them the strength to get over it, to get through it in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you're either going to work for them or in them, or perhaps both. But Lord, let this be the first moment. Let this be the moment of breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just release now the power of God, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tip of her toes, the top of her head. Just a full release. Those of you that are in the congregation, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just begin to pray for these guys. I'm telling you, today is the beginning of breakthrough. We're going to be praying all month for breakthrough. I'm believing God for great testimonies. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, let there be a breakthrough. All the pressure just be gone now in Jesus' name. The weight. The challenge. We trust you, Lord. We trust you in Jesus' name. We trust you. Right through the tip of her toes, the top of her head now. Fill her now with your presence, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Breakthrough. 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 Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm expecting a breakthrough because you're the God of breakthrough. I'm fully surrendered and seeking you with all my heart now. In Jesus' name, thank you. Lord, from the tip of her toes to the top of her head, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Just a full release, just a real breakthrough. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. I put my hands on you and I saw water faucet. It just barely had a little drip to it. But as I was watching, I saw the hand of the Lord come and open that thing up wide open. It's going to begin to flow for you, brother. It's going to begin to flow for you. Just a breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Tip of his toes, top of his head. Breakthrough, God. The name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. You hadn't gone too far that God can't find you. You hadn't done too much that he can't forgive you. You hadn't seen or done more than what God can cover and take care of. Trust him. Trust him. Breakthrough's coming in Jesus' name. Breakthrough's coming in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. This precious woman, Lord, I speak peace to her life, to her. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Just let the peace of God rest on you. He's with you. Just felt like the Lord just said to me, tell you. He's for you. God's for you. He's got this. He's got it. Okay? Today's the first day of big breakthrough for your life. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now, if you're here on the front row of the altar here, just raise both hands and say this to the Lord this morning. Lord Jesus, I surrender. And today, I start a new course in my life. And I'm going to seek you until I find you, Lord. So help me. I need a breakthrough, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, let's give these guys a big hand. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm believing. I'm believing for a breakthrough for every one of you. I want to hear the testimonies. I want you to come back and tell me. I'm just telling you, something changed in the spirit over you today. And something changed. And so let's trust God and believe God for a breakthrough. Can somebody say amen again?
Amen.
All right. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace and bless you every step that you make today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas. God bless.